In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, rescue thine only begotten Son to die for us. Have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word. Amen. Grace, and may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believeth on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. With upright heart he shepherded them. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and faith, and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing that what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone but about proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Here endeth the reading. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Here endeth the epistle. Christ has arisen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe, because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Here endeth the reading of the Gospel. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of Will the children's choir please come forward?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week we heard about Jesus' appearing to his disciples on the Sea of Tiberias. It was the third appearance that he made to them in the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. We heard that our Lord stood upon the shore calling to his disciples, and yet they did not immediately recognize him, for he had changed in some way. The body standing before them, beckoning them from the shore, was the same body which had walked with them on the hills of Galilee. It was the same body that had eaten with tax collectors and sinners, the same body which had healed the blind and fed the 5,000, the same body that suffered under Pilate's scourge and was crucified and buried. Yet, it was also the body that had descended into hell and been raised on the third day. It had conquered death, and now it was glorified. And he is the first fruits of the dead, the man from heaven in whose image we will all be recreated. He is the end, the perfection, the goal of our own resurrected bodies. He represents the destiny of what we are destined to be. We are destined to die and be buried and yet rise again with an abundance of life. This is why the church rightly calls the cemetery God's garden. The seeds have been planted and a bumper crop is assured by our Heavenly Father. Now, last week's gospel gave us a picture of our future hope in the resurrection. Today's gospel gives us a lesson in what we might call the intermediary state. Sorry, today's epistle lesson is what we'll be focusing on. We'll be focusing on Revelation chapter 7, which also comes from John. It shows us the state of the saints who have fallen asleep in Christ, whose bodies wait safely in the grave for the resurrection to come. It shows us the paradise of the soul while awaiting resurrection. By the time that John receives his revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded for us here in the book of Revelation, the apostle has suffered for his witness to the gospel. Yet he stands as the last remaining apostle. According to church tradition, he finds himself exiled on the island of Patmos on account of God's word by the personal orders of the Emperor Domitian. In the midst of his suffering, John continues to testify to the other island inhabitants about Jesus. And through his faithful witness, the Holy Spirit continues to draw those on the island into the church. John, like the other apostles, would not be silent. No man, emperor or not, would make John hold his peace about the one who had brought peace between God and man. And even there on Patmos, the church gathered. Every other apostle has been martyred, the first being John's own brother, James, executed in 44 AD by Herod. But the rest would soon follow. Peter was crucified just as Jesus had prophesied on the shore of Tiberias. Paul, who was the late comer to the apostolic band, was beheaded in the same year. Thomas, who had doubted, was run through by a spear. They and all the apostles, besides John, spilled their blood to testify to the one whose spilt blood redeemed the world. I'm sure these testimonies of his beloved friends were never far from John's mind. John records that on the Lord's Day, that is Sunday, he receives an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. That is, he receives a vision. When we hear the word apocalypse, we immediately think about the end of the world. But in Greek, it simply means a revelation. It is a curtain that is being pulled back to reveal that which is hidden from our limited sense perception. And that is what John sees in his vision today. He sees the communion of saints who are in Christ, with whom we are joined in the Holy Communion. In the middle of the divine service, as the saints of Patmos are gathered together, the curtain is ripped from before John's eyes, and behold, he sees a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. He sees the church triumphant, no longer separated by geography, divided by language, or distressed by heresy. He sees the saints gathered in festal worship before God and before the Lamb. These glorious saints from every tribe and people and nation are united in praise and worship, yet they are still individuals. They are still full of recognizable diversity. In death, when the law of God finally puts to death our sinful nature, once and for all, we are not absorbed into the divinity, as the Hindus and many Orthodox Jews believe. Our individuality does not melt away as we're dissolved into the one. No. We remain ourselves, distinct and unique creations of God, yet we are more fully ourselves, perfectly ourselves, in communion with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Before the throne of God, the saints stand together in true unity and true diversity, in a way that cannot be glimpsed here on earth except here in God's Christian church. John sees and hears the throng crying out with a loud voice. And they aren't just shouting with voices raised, but they are shouting and singing in hymnody. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They glorify God and glorify the Lamb, who are alone responsible for salvation. There is no greater worship than this, than to turn to God as the giver of every good gift. As the giver of our bodies, as the giver of our souls, as the giver of the one who gives us eternal life. The saints do not sing alone, but they are joined by all the company of heaven. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. That is truly, truly, it is so. Salvation belongs to our God. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. For the glory of God is manifested in the salvation of sinners, his wisdom revealed in the foolishness of the cross, his honor and power and might revealed in his conquest of death. Then the angel asks John, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? Who are these sinless and righteous ones who are clothed in the Lamb's righteousness? The apostle answers, Sir, you know. I do not get the sense that John doesn't know who these are, but that he is overwhelmed by joyous disbelief. It is the feeling that you get when you see something that is so precious and so joyous that you can hardly believe it. Perhaps you have experienced that sort of joy. It is the joy that a mother experiences after childbirth when she first holds her baby and looks into its face. Who are these clothed in white robes? I imagine John tearing up. It's Peter. It's Paul. it's Thomas. And there is my brother James. Not dead, but alive. Not sinners as I once knew them, but perfect. The angel answers his own question. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Salvation belongs to the Lamb, and these are his saints, washed clean by his precious blood. The Lamb is the great martyr who has borne witness to the kind of love that the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Some have been called to bear witness to Christ with their own blood, like the apostles did. These we rightly call martyrs and hold up as examples of faith. But all Christians who are faithful unto death are witnesses. All of them are martyrs. And across the road, we have a garden of martyrs whose testimony is engraved in stone so that we might always remember God's faithfulness to them and their faithfulness. These are the martyrs who have gone through the great tribulation. These are those who have suffered under sin, death, and the devil. These are the Christians who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have been baptized and clothed in Christ's righteousness, those who have gone before us in faith. These are the ones who have died to the world but are alive to Christ. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Those who have gone before us sleep in their body, awaiting the resurrection. But even now they are standing before the throne of God and singing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The Lord promises they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This Lord's Day, every Lord's Day, especially when we celebrate the Holy Communion, it is my prayer that the veil is ripped from your eyes, and that you see the vision that John saw by faith. The saints gathered with the angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven around the throne of God. Have you ever wondered why we gather around the altar in a half circle? It is because all the company of heaven are here. Peter, Paul, and Thomas, John, Walter, Marlon, Gretchen, Mary, Lola, and Kevin, all of the saints are standing with us, robed in white, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When the bread and wine, now become body and blood, are presented and the words spoken, the peace of the Lord be with you always, we share in John's vision. We behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world enthroned on the altar, enthroned on the mercy seat, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We sing and laud and magnify the holy name of God, saying, holy, 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 heaven and earth are full of thy glory. No saint ever dies. As the Apostle Paul says, when a Christian leaves this world, they go to be with Christ, which is far better. Every time we partake of the Holy Eucharist, we commune with Christ, and we commune with all the saints who are with him. The King of heaven and earth enters into our midst in his crucified and risen body to rule over us in grace. Thus we sing like the people did on Palm Sunday, and we sing like the saints do in heaven. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And thus it is that our Lord bids us to do it often. Whenever ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The desire of our hearts should be for the body of Christ and for his cleansing blood, to see him high and lifted up, enthroned here at Zion upon the altar, to be in communion with him and the saints on the Lord's day. You, in expectant waiting for the resurrection, proclaim with the saints in heaven, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And this is not enough for our loving God. He redeems us both soul and body. As we heard last week, the Apostle John says, we are God's children now. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. On the last day, your bodies and the bodies of all the saints will be raised up and glorified. Now we see Christ in faith. Then we will see him face to face with our own two eyes. Now, I invite you all to take your bulletin inserts. Look at verse 12 of our reading from Revelation. And join me and the angels in the acclamation. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The ushers may receive the offering. Heavenly Father, in your name, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood, and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you. As the sheep of his fold inspire us to hear his voice gladly and follow him steadfastly through every tribulation, Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, shepherd of souls, your servant Paul entrusted his flock to the care of faithful men, urging them to follow him in the way of Christ. Bless your church here today under the care of her pastors, and instill in them all wisdom, fortitude, humility, and grace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have provided us with the gift of family. Bless those who have shown us a mother's love and nurtured our lives from childhood. Bless and protect all mothers with child, all those who have suffered miscarriage or death of a child, and all those who have yearned for a child and lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, you will not allow any power or enemy to triumph over your saving purpose or snatch your lambs from your hand. Give us wise and faithful leaders who will govern in our land according to your law and defend the lives of the unborn, the orphaned, the widowed, and the aged. Bless all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may not hinder your purpose. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, the wicked say in their heart that you have forgotten. They murder the innocent and imagine that because others do not see it, neither will you. Arise, O Lord God, and lift up your hand to put an end to the evil of abortion. Have mercy on our nation. Hear the desire of the afflicted. Incline your ear and work by your might, that men of this earth may strike terror on the unborn no more. Strengthen and fortify the justices of the Supreme Court of these United States to overturn the tyrannical and wicked precedent of Roe versus Wade. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. Deliver the sick and suffering according to your will, and give your comfort to the dying, especially to those who have requested our prayers, including Adam, Dennis, Ed, Harold, Esther, Jim, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, Thomas, the Reverend David and Barbara, Barbara, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia. Guard us against despair and grant us patience in the days of our trouble as we await your perfect healing. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, enthroned in heaven, you gather your saints into the shelter of your presence, making them white in the blood of the Lamb. Keep us faithful throughout our lives here and bring us through death to join them in ceaseless praises of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you all for joining us here for worship this morning in the Lord's house on this lovely Mother's Day. Don't forget to say thank you to your mother and give her some special attention today. We all know that mothers are one of the most important people in our lives, right? I heard someone say yesterday that if you ever doubt how important a mother is, just go up to a guy bigger than you and insult his mother and see how important they are, right? So make sure you spend some time with your mom today. If you aren't close enough, make sure you give her a call and just let her know how much you appreciate her and all that she has done for you. And mothers, just recall that, you know, your vocation as mother is a holy vocation that has been given to you by God. And that he blesses it and smiles upon it. And in the toil of everyday life, sometimes we don't necessarily see the reward, but you know that when you go to heaven, right, that the angels and the Lord will be smiling and praise you and reward you for all your good works that you have done, sacrificial love that you have shown for your family. Okay, for some upcoming announcements, next week will be Thomas's last week with us, and we will be having a carry-in potluck, so see the announcement in the bulletins for that, and please ask Holly if you have any questions. The CWS picnic will be Wednesday at May 18th from 6 to 7 p.m., so if you were attending CWS, make sure you join us for that. And then VBS is coming up. May 22nd, let's see here, is when we want the registration and stuff returned. So if you're planning on sending your kids, make sure you're thinking about that. Also think about if you're willing to help. Of course, VBS is a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun playing with all the little ones. And think about if there's any other kids in the area that you might want to invite to come join us for VBS as well. We're very excited about that. Thank you for everyone for helping with the Easter breakfast. The ladies' aid will be donating the money towards the office furniture in the secretary's office. Okay, I think that is it. Any other announcements? Okay, depart in peace.